On Tuesday's front page, Egypt's new vice president says President Hosni Mubarak authorized him to speak with the opposition. The army said it wouldn't fire on protesters. A federal judge in Florida said the insurance mandate in the new health care law made it unconstitutional. And one of Harlem's cultural anchors is weighted down by debt. The National Black Theater may have to close. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak's hold on power appears to be weakening. First, the army said it wouldn't fire on protesters demanding his ouster. Then Mubarak's vice president offered to talk to the opposition. Times reporter Anthony Shadid says that came after Mubarak shuffled his cabinet.
He got rid of the interior minister, a figure who's loathed by many of the protesters in Liberation Square, but he kept key portfolios the same. That shuffle is almost certain to not meet the demands of protesters in Liberation Square. The crowds there grew from a few hundred before dawn to tens of thousands by dusk, defying a curfew that keeps getting moved up by the government. For the seventh day, the numbers were huge in Liberation Square, where there was an almost carnival atmosphere among the protesters. It was a very different scene in other parts of Cairo, where there's still a lot of anxiety, apprehension, and uncertainty about what's ahead.
Times correspondent Anthony Shadid. Tuesday's Times says Egypt's economy is nearly paralyzed. That's adding to the pressure on Mubarak to find a way out. He may have only a few weeks if he's to reestablish order before food shortages and rising unemployment deepen the crisis. The Obama administration has sent a diplomatic troubleshooter to Cairo. 72-year-old Frank Wisner is a former ambassador to Egypt who knows Mubarak. His assignment is to gauge Mubarak's intentions. Administration officials won't say whether he's carrying some kind of message. Also on Tuesday's front page, a second federal judge ruled Congress did not have the power to enact a health care law requiring Americans to get insurance. That evened the score at 2-2 in the lower courts. Now the conflicting opinions begin their journey to the Supreme Court. At the White House, officials said Judge Roger Vinson's opinion should not hold up the rollout of the health care law. The National Black Theater in Harlem is in danger of closing because of financial problems. It's facing foreclosure for the second time in 8 years. It blames business partners it's now accusing of mismanagement and fraud. The theater says the partners leveraged the theater's building to borrow money for their other businesses. Tuesday's front page says many governors are channeling anxiety about poor student performance by taking aim at teacher tenure. Governors in 5 states, including Florida and New Jersey, have called for doing away with tenure. Politics is also playing a role. Michael Petrilli, who was an education official under President George W. Bush, says the new crop of Republican governors are, quote, trying to out-reform one another. Inside Tuesday's Times, details on deadly bombings that rocked the police in northwest Pakistan. At least 6 people were killed in the 2 attacks, among them 2 police officials whose vehicles were targeted. More than 12 others were injured. No one claimed responsibility. Investigators suspect Taliban insurgents were involved. The power broker for Japan's governing party was indicted for misrepresenting political funds. Ichiro Ozawa is a shadowy operator who engineered the governing Democratic Party's win in 2009. He also symbolizes the kind of money politics many Japanese want to leave behind. Prime Minister Naoto Kan hinted earlier that Ozawa should resign if he's indicted. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is set to announce his budget proposals on Tuesday. He's expected to call for cutting more than 3,000 prison beds. He also wants to roll back scheduled spending increases on Medicaid and education. And he's proposing trimming state government. That could mean thousands of job cuts. Cuomo appears to be setting the stage for a prolonged struggle over restructuring state operations. New dietary advice from the government, just eat less. Regulators have long sidestepped that issue to avoid antagonizing food industry lobbyists. But new guidelines specifically urge Americans to avoid fatty foods and sugary drinks. The new recommendations also take on salt. They say anyone over age 51 should cut daily salt consumption to 1,500 milligrams. That also goes for African Americans, children, and adults with hypertension, diabetes, or kidney disease. For everyone else, the recommendation is 2,300 milligrams, or about a teaspoon. Tuesday's Business Day section says regulators are taking a harder stand on the hazards of baby sleep products. The Consumer Product Safety Commission is cracking down on items that have been blamed for injuries and deaths. That means taking a second look at crib bumpers. That's the padding wrapped around the inside of a crib. Just last summer, the commission said there was no problem. Professor Bradley Thatch of Washington University in St. Louis has already published findings pointing to 27 suffocation deaths in a 10-year period. That's Oscar-winning composer John Barry conducting the theme from the James Bond movie Dr. No. Barry's jazzy scores were as much a part of the Bond films as Bond's double entendres or Q's gadgets. Barry may or may not have written the Bond theme. When he took credit in a 2001 newspaper interview, the original composer hired for the film went to court. John Barry died over the weekend. He was 77. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.